is indeed blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as we have been going about this E100 Bible Challenge over the last number of weeks, one of the things that's happened is that we start to see themes develop. We've only been at it for a few weeks, but themes are starting to develop as we've read from the beginning of Genesis now through the book of Ruth. And one of the major themes that we see developing here is one that I think is born out of something that's very special about the Old Testament. First, I would say that my tendency as a human being, as a man, is that I tend to be willing to, or unwilling, so to speak, to share, you know, the bad stuff. I like to present as best a picture of me as possible just about whenever I can do that. I don't think I'm unique. I think most people want to portray their best possible self when they do that with each other. And one of the things I've found is that I actually tend to gravitate towards or be really engaged with people who don't do that, who are willing to share their foibles, who are upfront about the ways in which they have been less than whole. Maybe it's because I'm so used to people telling me when I ask them, "So, how is everything going?" "Oh, everything's fine. Everything's great. Everything's wonderful." When I know that's not necessarily true. And then when you go to the person and you ask them, "How's it going?" And, you know, they'll really tell you. And so I find myself to be engaged by that. Well, it's interesting because the Old Testament is exactly that. You see, one of the things about the Old Testament, as scholars have said, is that it is really a confessional. Now think about that. The Old Testament is a confessional. Because throughout the Old Testament, throughout the stories that we hear, they don't whitewash it for us. No, we hear all the dirty laundry. We see all the dirty laundry. We hear, as we read the stories, we hear the bad stuff. We are engaged by the way these people share their lives for us and their engagement with God for us in a way that is full and open. And we especially see that in our reading from the Judges. You know, it's interesting because if you look through the Judges, as we get to encounter these incredible people, really, but very real people, we encounter them, and every time we seem to encounter them, there's something happening in the book of Judges. It begins in chapter 2, but we have this mantra that follows us through the book. And this mantra is this: "And then the Israelites did what was evil in the sight of the Lord." Then the Israelites did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And every time that happened, every single time that happened, God then brought them a judge. God then brought them someone to save and redeem them. It's interesting because think about their situation. The Israelites had been brought out of slavery out of Egypt. They had crossed over the Jordan River. They were now, the Red Sea. And then they were heading towards the Promised Land. Moses dies, but Joshua comes along. And Joshua's a great leader. And behind Joshua, he leads them into the Promised Land. Everything they had ever wanted. And then Joshua dies, and then they're kind of on their own. They've received the freedom that they wanted. They've received all, but they didn't quite know what to do. And so they started backsliding. And they started doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord then comes to them and provides them these leaders, people like Othniel and Ehud and Deborah and Gideon and Jephthah and Samson. These judges who came along to help bring them back to faith. And it's interesting because the Bible makes no bones about the fact that these people were not perfect. These leaders were not perfect. And that's one of the themes that we see develop as begins here in Genesis and continues to go. We see this theme developing of God using really weird, strange people to achieve God's purposes. I don't know about you, but I like that. Because I'm weird. I'm strange. I'm flawed. I have a lot of struggles, and I bet that maybe you are a little weird too. Maybe a little strange. Maybe you too are flawed, certainly. We all are. Yet we see this theme developing of the God who that doesn't stop. The God who is willing to take us, even when we are at our worst, and to use us to bring about something quite remarkable and powerful. Now, of all the judges, all the stories, I like them all, but I tend to be partial to Gideon. I like Gideon, and I shared at first service, although Heidi didn't remember, I said that I kind of like that name. If Leah would have been a boy, I like Gideon. That worked. That would have worked for us. But we didn't go, obviously, that direction. But I have an uncle, a great uncle Gideon, and that's why I kind of have always liked that story. I think that's just a cool name. And I particularly like the fact that Gideon was this guy who is particularly emblematic of this theme of God taking these people and making them into something that they can never even imagine themselves being. Gideon is a guy, and at his time, just to set the scene a bit, the Israelites are at this point being oppressed by the Midianites. You don't need to remember all that, but just remember that they were being oppressed. They were a people that had fallen away. They were being oppressed by this other people. And Gideon and his people weren't even worshiping the Lord at the time. Now think about that. The Lord comes to him. And the Lord comes to Gideon and comes to him and calls him and asks him to, you know, go and save his people. And Gideon, and here is where this theme of the Old Testament being confessional is, that this response by Gideon is so powerful and precious. This is the response from Gideon. When the angel comes to him and says, "The Lord is with you and you are a mighty warrior," Gideon answers, "But sir," and I love that, "but sir, if the Lord is with us, why has all of this happened to us?" Now think about that. Is there any more honest question than that? If the Lord is with us, why did this happen? Don't keep telling me these stories of how he brought you out of Egypt. Don't keep telling me these stories how he redeemed you and brought you into the promised land. Don't keep telling me these stories about what God did. Tell me what God is going to do now. I don't know about you, but I've had those moments. I've had those moments. I imagine you have too. If God is with us, why is this relationship breaking down? If God is with us, why is my friend have disease? If God is with us, why am I not having a baby? If God is with us, why am I going through these struggles at work? If God is with us, why do I have such anger in my heart for someone? If God is with us, why does these tragedies happen? You see, they don't whitewash that here. It's real. It's the real stories of real people whom we can identify with, walking a real life of faith. And this is why I love Gideon. Because Gideon is a nobody who's not even worshiping the Lord. The reason he's not is because he's mad. He's mad because all this crap's happening to him in his life. And the angel comes and says, "The Lord is with you." And he challenges that. And then the Lord says to him again, "Go." And he just keeps talking to him. He says, "Just go and deliver Israel. I commission you." And then he starts going, well, how can I do that? I don't know about you, but I've said that to the Lord quite a bit. "What are you talking about, Jesus? I can't do that. I can't lead that. I can't be about that." You know, it's easy to say no to the Lord. It might not be easy to keep the Lord from changing your mind, but it's easy for me to say no, because fear is a lot easier than hope. Fear is really easy. And Gideon is fearful. And the Old Testament tells us plenty of stories of fearful people like you and me. Fearful people who want hope but are afraid. And he says, "But sir, how can I deliver?" And he says to them again, "I will be with you. Do not be afraid." And see, that is the other theme that keeps coming through the Bible. And it starts here, and you're going to keep seeing. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I think Mary heard those words from some angel a little bit later on in the story. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. And then when Jesus ascends to heaven, he says, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you always to the end of the age." You see, the themes that start back here continue through, and we see God working. And what's so beautiful about the theme of the people of Israel not whitewashing this is that it makes it accessible. It makes it something that we can identify with. Why? Because we have had our Gideon moments. We have wondered where God is. We have been afraid to follow God. And then we have seen, yes, we have seen how God can take us and make something incredible happen like he does with Gideon. Gideon has an army of 32,000. And God goes, "Nah, you don't need that many. Take it down. Take it down. You don't need that many. Put them away. Put them away." Kind of like cleaning out the shed. He was cleaning out the shed. "You don't need that. You don't need that." And he got it down to 300. 300. 300. And then he wins. And God said, "See, told you." See, God's like, you know, telling that to us. It's awesome. And so we have these moments in our lives of fear, of doubt, of uncertainty, of anger, and of ways in which we go, "My God, how did you do it, Jesus? How did you do that in my life? In the moment I couldn't see, I thought you weren't there. Now I look back and I'm like, wow, you were there." And it happened. Because you see, the reality of not whitewashing their struggles and fears in the Old Testament, confessing their sin and their struggles and their pain, the beauty of that is that God is the one who takes that and bears out of that hope and blessing. Because, you know, it's more real. And we see it becoming truly real through our lesson we read from Ruth. This foreign woman becomes the one through whom the Savior comes. The line of David is sustained by this woman who knew nothing about. Simply, she just said in faith to Naomi, "I will be with you, and your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." And simply saying those words, not even maybe knowing what she was saying, God uses her to be the great grandma of David, who becomes the one through whom the Savior comes. Amazing stories of God using weird and strange and fearful and hurting and angry people to bring about a message of grace and hope. A message of grace and hope that is seen ultimately in the life of Jesus, who says, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you always to the end of the age." Friends, that is the message that is given to you today. That is the message that was given to you yesterday. And that is the message that is given to you every single day for every single situation of your life. This incredible promise of the God who loves you so much that he came to be with you. And that he will be with you and use you and embrace you and take you places you could never, ever imagine going. And he will do it simply because he knows that this world is a better place because of you. And that God can use you to make this world what he wants it to be. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.